At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Holy moly, good morning everybody. You know, there are some days where we don't have that much to talk about, and there are other days where we got a lot going on. Today is one of those days because we have there's earnings, okay? There's non-earnings headlines, there's vaccine news. There's a lot going on this morning. We're going to try to cover as much of it as we can. CC Lagator from Options AI is our guest today at 8:35. We're going to talk options ideas into and after earnings reports, seeing as how we're in earnings season. So we'll talk Netflix. We'll talk restaurant stocks. We'll talk Novavax. We'll talk United Airlines. We'll try to take questions from our chat at the end of the show. But it is going to be a busy, busy, busy morning. So do us all a favor now. Hit that like button, please, so you don't even got to worry about that. I don't got to ask you again. And let's get Joel on here. And Joel, how are we doing this morning? Because we got a lot going on here. We're in a fast market.
Fast market. I'm doing pretty good. S&P futures are doing okay. We're only down three sticks at 45.08 and a quarter. You have crude backing off that all-time high, that double top at 83, but I didn't call it a double top, down 83 cents at 81.61. Gold back working its way towards 1800, up 1360 at 1784.50. Silver back over 24. That's up 18.7 cents at 24.07. Bitcoin just hanging out near all-time highs, but it's down 320 at 64,340. Ethereum futures, they're going the opposite way. They're up $54.25 at 38.96.
All right. Hey, speaking of Bitcoin, fun fact about that Bitcoin ETF from yesterday before we get to the real stuff today. New ETFs will always launch with some seed capital. So The BITO ETF from yesterday launched with $20 million already in seed capital. It ended the day with $570 million. It took in $550 million of inflows yesterday. Just an insane first day. Anyway.
Wow.
I no kidding.
You're telling me there's some demand for a product like this.
Yeah, that's
just
what I'm
a
saying.
Bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Anyway, okay. Let's talk. We'll start
nice
with
to have nice to have another Bitcoin vehicle to trade, though. I'm actually like that.
I'm sure you do. There's going to be another one today. Did you know that?
What's this one going to be?
BTFD.
TFD. I got to
BTFD.
BTFD. No, not, really? BTFD.
I am
by
not
the.
It's like a Bitcoin. It's a Bitcoin.
BTFD. Buy
that. Is that it?
Dip.
You have to buy that.
That is so craziest ticker symbol. You see people
you
post
got
that all the
it,
time. We
Dennis.
Cannot say the F on a live show, but I cannot believe they use that ticker.
Why not?
Symbol.
It's BT Bitcoin FD Fund Bitcoin Fund.
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
They
Spencer?
Didn't think about buy the F dip.
That's what it stands for. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're saying. That's anyway.
Anyways,
okay,
that's awesome.
Okay,
I can't. Dennis is good.
It's so he's
gonna buy it just because of that.
All right, let's talk Netflix here. Earnings were out last night. We were doing a stream as it was going on. I didn't think the numbers were actually that bad.
The numbers weren't that bad. It was
The numbers. I didn't think the guidance was that bad either. So I'll give you the numbers here from Netflix. Their earnings per share beat. Their sales beat. They added 4.4 million net subscribers in the quarter, which also beat. They guided that they would add 8.5 million subscribers this quarter, which is actually identical to what they earned in Q4 last year. So again, I didn't think any of that was bad. The stock is obviously down here this morning. So my take is number is not bad, especially when you remember what one or two quarters ago they had a terrible, terrible miss where they missed on their subscribers horribly, and the stock got crushed on that. We seem to have come out of that for now. The reasons to be bearish are the stock just came off this huge move in the last couple of months. Also they're still not really growing in the US, right? It's still mostly international growth. They're really saturated. They're at capacity, it seems like, in the United States right now. They're not really growing there. They've only added 88,000 subscribers in the US and Canada this year. That's peanuts for a company.
The whole year?
In the U.S. and Canada, yeah, and that's the other, and that goes also into churn, right? Their churn rate is still high, but the good news there is the churn rate is higher on their competitors, so there's that to think about. But anyway, numbers good, stock reaction good in the first minute, and then not so good after that. But I'll let Joel talk about that.
It was actually just a whipsaw session. Woo-hoo. They did not know what to do with that report. So it went up a little bit initially, then they hammered it. Then they took it all the way up to over 660, and then they hammered it again. So it just chopped around. It was buy the dip and sell the rip. Seemed like a dozen times in that first candle. So obviously you can see the wicked, wicked candle before it eventually started to find its way and obviously wanted to trade down after, but it could not figure it out. It was a whip. Even me looking at it, I was like, I don't even know which way to go, because if this starts ripping, you know, it may take Fang up with it, and then it starts dipping. It's like, well, I don't even know what to do here. I'm just laying off. Joel, thoughts, concerns?
Well, you got to throw out the high. You got to throw out that high.
I mean, 662 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say never, because never is a long time, but boy, 663.15 is where they took it up to. I mean, that's an overshoot. Interesting thing to me is that the overshoot on the downside, 622.52, and you came back down to that area. You came back to that area this morning when you went to 620.81, and this is just setting up perfectly technically here.
Technical setups, Joel. Tell me more. Tell me more.
620. It's got to hold 620. And maybe, you know, if it holds 620, good report. We're going back up, testing all-time highs. This thing takes – and I don't know if this is just today or, but that, look at that. You got all those lows in the area. I broke out that day. It's the pre-market low. You got the daily low for a couple days. You got to keep an eye on 620. And then I would just go back to, reset. Boom, trading range. There's the all-time high. You got to break out above that. So there we go, 620. That's your number. Lose money when it goes through 620 on the long side, blame Spencer and Dennis.
You lose money, it's your own fault on anything, because we don't give any recommendations. We only give ideas and we give opinions. You do what you want with those opinions. I'll give you the same thing. I'll say the 620 is important to hold too. Is this a stock that's absolutely loved by the street right now? Yes. Is this a stock that's had a pretty good run here in the last few weeks? Yep. Is this a stock that's likely to get bottom of the dip? Yep. So I'll give you the 620, and you know, maybe you try it there. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's a tricky market. You know, even just taking it away from Netflix just for a second, like yesterday's action, Joel, there was like half the stocks really getting hit, like an Ulta Beauty just getting absolutely hammered. And then you had other stocks that were just ripping relentlessly, no mercy. So, I mean, it was a market that had a lot of separation in it. And I think that continues. So if your stock's in favor, it can stay in favor, obviously. But I mean, again, it's the market just kind of random, you know, the random walk a little bit in a lot of stocks.
Oh, what happened to Ulta there?
I don't know. I never even looked at the headline.
360? I mean, I'll give it.
Had to be you. A big one, though.
Yeah, your Alta Traders. Yeah, 355 to 360. That's where
their guidance.
Yeah, their guidance. It guidance yeah. out yesterday morning.
During the show, we didn't catch that.
Yeah, no, we did not catch
355 to 360, folks. That's a must-hold area for Alta. Oh, big drop, though. Just 2 days removed from an all-time high. Yikes.
All right, so Joel gave 620 as your critical number.
I concurred.
On Netflix. Dennis concurred. And something to also think about with Netflix is this doesn't even factor in Squid Game, which is supposedly their biggest show ever. We'll find out more about that next quarter. Also, I don't know if y'all care about this, but they did say that they're going to change how they report what their biggest shows are. They're not right now. They report number of accounts watching that have watched a given show for 2 minutes. They're not going to do that anymore. Now they're going to do just total watch time, total hours watched for a given show. Anyway, if y'all care about
bring that. Back House of Cards.
No, do not bring back House of Cards.
It really went downhill when we lost Kevin Spacey, though. Because I feel so depressed after the Kevin Spacey issue, because I loved Kevin Spacey as an actor, and now we can't see him anymore. I mean, these actors got to keep their personal lives together for the sake of all of us, because Kevin Spacey was an awesome actor. And now we'll probably never see him in anything good again.
And
House of Cards, that last season, Joel, was absolutely terrible.
It was so bad.
It was the worst thing ever. It was the one of the best series, and they ended it in the worst possible way. They scrambled around trying to produce something without Kevin Spacey.
Their hands were tied. Their hands were tied. There wasn't
the Spacey screwed us all.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Bring back House of Cards.
Okay. Good. Biggest loser of the morning right now is Novavax. Dennis was all over this last night. If you're watching him on Twitter, shout out to Politico. We don't talk about Politico much, but because Politico doesn't really move stocks, but they're moving this stock. They had article. Yeah, they had a whole article out last night about the struggles that Novavax has had as it pertains to actually manufacturing their COVID vaccine candidate. And it was, if you read the article, which I did, there wasn't really anything in there that sounded good. I did see that Novavax had a filing out this morning, an SEC filing, basically just confirming their confidence and
they're trying to obviously fight back on the Politico article.
Yeah,
they see the stock down 33 points. Somebody's like, say something.
So basically the article was like, hey, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, they've been able to not just get a vaccine developed but also manufacture it. Novavax has not. And reminder, this is it's not like Novavax has a history of developing vaccines. They hadn't done that before this. Yeah. Also, they're not doing it the same way. They're not using the mRNA technology that like Moderna is. They're doing it like the old-fashioned way, which I guess involves harvesting cells from animals or something. But anyway, Novavax is your biggest loser. It's down 20% in the pre-market session alone.
You just think about, you know, what Moderna has done. And, you know, we've talked about the separation, you know, probably 3 or 4 months ago between Novavax and Moderna because they got the vaccine out. And, you know, and they're doing so many things. And Novavax can't figure it out. I mean, they were both had the same lead time, really. You know, it was Novavax when we first heard about COVID back in April or May. You know, in March we heard about it. But when we're hearing about the vaccines, it's going to be Novavax and Moderna that were going to come and save the day, you know, BioNTech in there too. And Novavax just never got it together. So, I mean, here we are, you know, the stock's down 21%. I will tell you, Joel, the level of all levels for this stock was last night. I called it out on Twitter too. I said 115. There was an iceberg order there, Joel, at 115 that would not move. They were hitting it and hitting it and hitting it in that third big purple candle you can see in the top left chart.
Yeah, I see it.
They were hammering the 115. Somebody bought a pile of stock there. An iceberg order for those traders who are newer to trading.
Yeah, why don't you explain that, Triple?
An iceberg order, it usually just shows like 100 shares on the bid, but it's really a lot more. So you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg is where they get the analogy from. So it might be like 10,000 shares to buy, it might be 20,000 shares to buy, it might be 50,000 shares to buy, but they're only showing 100. And then it's continuously trading at that price, not going through it. And that's how you know it's an iceberg order. You don't know how big the iceberg is because you're only seeing the tip of it. But they hit it. They hit it. They hit it. It would not move. And finally, they turned around and started bouncing. And they bounced it from 115 to 135. this morning, came back down, retested the same exact area, that 115, Joel. Look at those lows. Not quite to 115,
yeah, right there,
but right in that area.
Yep,
so you have major pre-market support. Whether that support's going to hold in the regular session, nobody knows anything. But all we can do is take the information we have and make logical trading decisions. And I say the 115 is a solid level until that buyer's gone.
Yeah, that buyer was looking at your May low of 117.12, and he just figured, hey, I'll just, you know, go down to 115 and back up the truck. So you can use that as support. The pop up to 135 and change, that's going to be resistance if, in fact, you can rally. I would just be careful again, because they might be done, or they might say, hey, everyone think I'm going to be at 115 if in fact it takes it out. And then they pull the bid. It goes 114 and a half offer. Everyone's scrambling. And then they do the same thing at 114.
And sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when a stock's just tanking like that, though, it's obviously somebody with big money to be able to buy as many shares as they did. Like we could go back and look at the tape, but
170,000 traded on that bracket.
170. Well, that could have been, you know, coming
the
in
whole bracket.
Some of that volume, yeah, on, yep, that bracket, but big volume. And I tell you, a lot of stock traded at that 115 level. I mean, I use that, you know, it's good,
that's a good level
information. You know, when you can, you know, find iceberg orders on earnings reports, those sometimes turn off of them, because it's just got to think, you know. Basically, on an earnings report, it's all wide, you know, and you don't have regular market makers. They're all wide because there's news and they're letting it adjust. So if you have one big player here and one big player here, sometimes the price will just bounce between those two big players. And if you can identify where those big players are simply by reading the tape and looking at your time and sales and looking at the quote window, you have an edge. And last night, anybody who was buying just off that 115 had a significant edge. Stock's down 126. They're making $11. So, I mean, there's opportunities in tape reading still. You just have to know what you're looking for.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say anything, you know, no more technicals, but fundamentals, okay? This company never did actually produce a vaccine, right? I don't know if the company ever has. Second of all, look at the way some of the stocks that are getting treated that came out with vaccines. Or like, yeah, Merck. Yeah. I mean, so
they're hitting the ones that actually have vaccines.
Yeah. 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 Look at
Pfizer.
It's not
the greatest environment for vaccine makers.
I would just say, you know, if you're looking at this, you know, to buy the dip, I mean, I think I did something on this. This company has a history. I think this went real high a long time ago on something. But, you know, Moderna's way off. I think the vaccine trade, I mean, these companies are not being rewarded. That one that was going to have one doesn't. So hands off for me. I wouldn't buy this at 100. I wouldn't buy it at 90 or 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, or 30.
You're telling me you're not a fan.
Not a fan. Not a fan of DVAX.
All right. Let's move on here to the other one of the other. There's a lot moving today. One of the other big things getting crushed today that we never talk about on this show is stocks like Brinker, right? Eat, take your EAT, right? Restaurant stocks, which we talk about restaurants, but we talk about, like, you know, the high flying restaurants, you know, your Shake Shack, your Chipotle. We don't really talk Brinker that much. This is the owner of Chili's, by the way, if you don't know.
There's like Maggiano's. They own like 10 different sit down. Yeah. You know, it's casual dining.
Right. Exactly. And the reason we don't talk about them is because there's stodgy, not very exciting stocks. Well, not so much this morning. Because Brinker had earnings, was it last night? It was last night, and they were absolutely brutal. But here, let me get the numbers here for you.
Get it for us. And they weren't, I don't think they were scheduled, were they?
You know what?
I didn't see them on the schedule.
I didn't see them either. That doesn't mean they weren't supposed to.
We could have missed it.
I just didn't
see I didn't them. Notice it either.
Okay. Here's what they said. You know, the revenue actually managed to come in higher, but that's not the point. The point is that their margins got crushed. Their earnings was a huge miss on the earnings, on the adjusted earnings per share. Let me read you directly from the press release here. You know, first quarter delivered positive sales, blah, blah, blah. Next. But the COVID surge starting in August exacerbated the industry-wide labor and commodity challenges and impacted our margins and bottom line more than we anticipated. This is from the CEO. We are responding to these COVID headwinds with increased focus on hiring and retention efforts and working with our partners to gain further stabilization of the supply chain environment. We have taken immediate incremental pricing actions so that, you know, they're raising costs as you would expect. But this was an ugly, ugly, ugly report. Yeah. And it's not unique to Brinker because really the entire restaurant industry is down this morning.
Well, it is unique. Brinker is the catalyst. Now every other restaurant, everybody who owns a restaurant stock's like, oh, crap. You know, we didn't consider we're getting hit. And Christian Fromhertz maybe said it best on Twitter last night. They're getting hit from both sides. So we talk about, you know, inflation hedges. This is like the anti-inflation hedge, if you think about it, because one, they have their food costs escalating on them on this side. And then they have their labor costs escalating on them on this side if they even can get the labor. And, you know, where do you do? Like I was told this story, I think a couple months ago on the show, a friend of a friend's got a restaurant, said chicken wings, you know, his bag, he gets them by the bag. The price of the bag is doubled over what it was a year ago. And he's like, well, what can I do? I can't double my food prices because if I double my food prices, people aren't going to come to my restaurant. So I got to eat it a little bit myself. So the restaurant's got to eat it on, you know, the food cost increases. It can pass on a little bit, but you can't all of a sudden just double your prices. And, you know, you've got labor. Obviously, labor issues where if you can even get the labor, but people want to be paid more money in an inflationary environment. So restaurants getting hit from both sides here. Brinker International, EAT getting hit from just the south side, Joel, this morning. Stock is down 11%. It's one of its biggest moves. This is a stock that doesn't move around a lot. It's one of its biggest moves in a long time. And you know what? It's justifiable. And it's funny, you know, that the market just, you know, is sitting there. And maybe it was ahead of it because it has been leaking here for the better part of the year. But
look at that. I was going to look at that. Look at the bottom right chart there. I mean, this is a 2-for-1 stock split since March in a roaring bull market. Like I said, I never pulled this stock up. But I mean, you're heading long into that report. I mean, head and shoulders top there. You got the head. You got the two lot. This I'll give you the pre-market low as potential support. 41.70 is a pre-market low. I see a monthly low at if in fact we take that out, a monthly low at 40.66. But this is a multi-month downtrend. Doesn't look like it's going to end this month. I think best case scenario for investors is, you know, you go down, you test that $40 area in the next couple days, and you hold it, put a few lows in. And then mount a rally. But I mean, the street, I mean, they've been selling the daylights out of this thing since March. So tough. And now you got a whole nother level of people at $48 scratching their head. You know, it's like, oh, if this ever gets back to 48, I'm going to get out. Yesterday's low, 48 was yesterday's low. Former low of the move is 46.63. You could use that as a minor resistance.
This is not unique to these type of casual restaurants, though. This is this is any restaurant out there. Over the weekend, we tried to go into Starbucks just to get a coffee and then go to the store, and we were 0-for-2. There's two Starbucks near us, and they
do you mean 0-for-2? Tell us.
They weren't open. They weren't open.
Well, one of them, I don't even know if it was open.
What do you mean they're not open?
They're not open.
There was a line at the drive. This is at 9:30 in the morning. So, like, you know, there's a line at the drive-thru, and no one moved for 10 minutes. So we left. And we went to another one, and they were just straight up closed. And this is Starbucks.
This is because of labor?
Yeah.
I would assume so, but I don't know.
You not want to own Starbucks.
This is a Saturday morning, you know, at a Starbucks, right? Like, that's like prime Starbucks time. Right.
You're going to have issues, you know, and this inflationary issues is starting to create problems across industries. And you're going to have issues of labor shortages on minimum wage paying jobs.
If your
business is reliant on minimum wage, your business could have some problems. So, I mean, I look at that and think, no Starbucks for me then. I mean, let's take it back to Eat. There's a lot of peer plays here. We love talking sympathy. We talked sympathy in our educational event on Saturday. There is a pile of restaurant stocks. I'm talking like there's like 30 of them out there, but let's go to the direct peer, and that is Darden Restaurants. So it would be a direct peer for EAT.
Red Lobster.
Yeah. Well, and obviously Olive Garden. You think Maggiano's, you know, the casual dining. So let's stay away from
Check this out. I want to show you this cool thing. If you don't know how to find like relationships, like Dennis knows off the top of his head,
please.
In Benzinga Pro, I just went to the details widget, and you know, this is your details page. I'm on Brinker.
Yeah.
We have a peers tab. Awesome. This is this is all the restaurants: McDonald's, Starbucks, Chipotle, Yum, Darden, Texas Roadhouse, Wingstop, Wendy's, Papa John's, Great Shake Shack, Cracker Barrel, Cheesecake Factory, Jack in the Box, Bloomin' Brands, which owns Outback, right? Dave and Buster's, Dine Equity, Denny's, right? They're all right here, and they're all going to be down today.
Okay, that's an awesome tool right there because, you know, I'm always going around. Okay, I kind of have a lot of the names in my head, but you might forget about a few. So it's just great to just get them in front of you and look at what they're doing. And if you look at what they're doing this morning, you can see a very clear pattern. They are all trading lower. So we got DRI going to the direct peer, trading down 2.5%, down $4. These are big moves for restaurant stocks that typically don't move around like this. So you're going to see a lot of stocks get hit here this morning. Chipotle is showing higher, but that was just an odd FINRA print. It's actually trading lower. But again, I'm staying away. Chipotle is more fast food. So I think you're going to see casual dining get hit more than fast food. That's why, you know, you look at like a Texas Roadhouse, which is casual dining. That's getting hit here this morning.
What's
obviously
that? TXRH?
TXRH. Yeah. You know, you've mentioned cake, C-A-K-E. That's trading down 3.5% this morning. More casual dining, more kind of a direct peer there. So think about those ones. Yeah. Those are the ones that are going to hit the most. Are they going to just bounce right back? Well, that's to be determined, but Eat will be your leader here today. So if Eat starts to show some life, maybe some of these other plays show some life here too. But there's going to be a lot of restaurant stocks that are going to get hit this morning. Somebody asking about Wingstop. Wingstop is actually offered down this morning. So it might get hit a bit. Again, is Wingstop fast food? Like Wingstop, when you go in there, are those sit-down restaurants? I've never been to one.
It's like fast casual, I would call it.
Okay, because sometimes they have like wings takeout. If you're a big takeout thing, it might be different. I'm not sure.
No, because we're not talking about demand, Dennis. We're talking about input costs, right? We're talking about commodity costs and labor costs, right?
I'd be scared owning any restaurant right now, restaurant stocks.
Yeah.
I think there's better places for your money. And you think about the run, some of these have held up very, very well. Even some of the big ones have held up well too. So, but like you were saying, Starbucks. I mean, you know, Starbucks is not far off its 52-week high. It's 10% off its 52-week high. But if you think about where it was a year ago, $70, $113. I mean, if all of a sudden they're having labor shortages,
what if they start closing stores?
Well, I highly doubt that's. I don't hear that happening. I think it might be unique to your area, maybe. I hope, because I'm not hearing any of that. But I mean, if that is happening, you're way early on that. I can't see, you know, closing stores because the demand is there. They don't have a demand problem, which is a good thing. They don't have a demand problem. What they have is obviously a problem, a labor problem. And I think you're going to see this across different industries that rely on minimum wage. People don't want to work for 12, 14, 15 bucks an hour anymore. They can see the cost of living going up, 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 up.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're just like, no, it's not worth it to me. So, I mean, there's going to be trouble. Obviously, your teenagers will always be able to work. But, you know, you get your managers, you know, where, you know, it's going to be a little bit trickier.
We went out on Sunday night to like a normal size restaurant. And
which one?
Jim Brady's, is that what it's called?
Oh, you went to Jim Brady's?
Yeah.
Normal wings?
No, normal size restaurant. They had three waitresses for the entire restaurant. Behind us, there was a party of eight, and they were like, "We're not going to seat you. Like we have the room, but we're not going to because we can't serve you. We can't wait on a party of the eight. We have three people for the whole restaurant." Like we can't deal with that right now. Wow. So they turned him away. Like I was holy cow. Like three
what
people.
What world are we in? Like for, we're in for this, like
a, you know, it's not a huge restaurant, but it's not tiny. It's like a normal sized restaurant. And anyway, you know, maybe Lone Pigsy and Cub is right. Robots to save the
day. I think so. We gotta start investing in more automation here because we need the robo waitress. You know, Bill McDonald's. Think about your order taker. They've got those, you know, kiosks where you just type in your own order now. So you are seeing automation take away a few of those jobs.
I don't know.
But so you know, automation is going to have to come and save the day on a lot of this stuff because you know what? A lot of these people aren't coming back to these $15 an hour jobs or $12 an hour. What's minimum wage in what's minimum wage in Michigan? Do we know? Do you know off the top of your head?
The minimum wage is one thing, but.
Well, I don't know what the dollar amount is. I think it's like $16 in Ontario. What is it in Michigan?
I'm going to Google.
For this Starbucks, the one on 12 Northwest, I've been by it 3 or 4 times, Dennis, and the thing is never open.
It's still $9.
And they probably paid up for some real estate. For you Starbucks investors, keep an eye on 110. I mean, this has been, 109.41, 108.88, 108.20. 110, it's not even anywhere near it today. But if it takes out that 110, I think you got a quick date with 100. And Costco coffee is fantastic. I don't know why you'd pay $5. I go long Costco coffee, short Starbucks for if you could just do the Costco coffee.
My wife likes the McDonald's coffee the best. They say
really?
It's good coffee too.
They seem like they have good
isn't
coffee.
That like sacrilegious in Canada to say that? Tim Hortons?
I know. Like a lot of people hate me because I keep saying that, you know, I hate Tim Hortons food. I think it's the worst food in the world, but it's the smartest business model because even though I hate Tim, I don't drink coffee and I don't like the food, but somehow I still spend money there. I can't figure out how. So they're genius marketing and their systems are just awesome. But they're on every corner. It's out of convenience. The kids start chanting donut and, you know, you go in there and then you grab something else. Unbelievable.
Anyway, the minimum wage is $9.87 in Michigan, so that's what
it's
it is
under $10
on paper, but in reality, it's more than that because no one's working for that right now. So
people don't want to work for that.
Yeah, there was a ad yesterday in the radio. Amazon here is paying $22 an hour just to start.
Great for the worker.
Great for the worker, though? Because, I mean, even though you're seeing, they're getting paid more money, everything that they're buying is costing them way more money.
Yeah, but it's not to the same extent. People.
I think it's way to the same extent.
I don't. People complaining about, like, $20 Big Macs, that's not going to – no.
Oh, I don't think we're going to $20 Big. I would hope we're not going to $20.
We
have a $20 Big Mac. We got major problems.
No, you
major problems.
You increase your Big Macs by a nickel. Do you know how much more that a nickel is enough to cover?
Well,
I don't know if that's true.
If I compare Chick-fil-A sandwich used to be about six something a combo.
Yeah,
it's up to nine something a couple.
There is.
Fine. I'll give you that.
Inflation is bigger than you think in the food and the fast food.
I'll give you it's not a nickel, but it's also not going to be something that we're.
I don't think they're going to $20 Big Macs. I don't think they're going to $10 Big Macs, but can they go to $5 Big Macs? What's a Big Mac right now?
I don't even know what a Big Mac is.
No one even knows what a Big Mac costs.
I think they're like $3.99, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, I have no idea.
I don't eat at McDonald's very often. My kids do, but I try not to even order food.
Okay, fine. The chat's all over me for this thing. Ivan says he just paid $4 for a large fries at McDonald's. So okay, fine.
You're jacking prices.
$4 for a large fry. Oh,
once is a Big Mac's $4.98 now. Is that right? $5. Remember we used to get like 99-cent Big Macs, Joel, and you'd see how many you could eat. Remember that, like 20 years ago?
I used to get free, you know, they used to do that promotion. If you could say 2 old beef patties, pesto sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame bun.
What?
If you could say that without messing it up within like 5 seconds, you would get a free Big Mac. That was an old promotion. Probably only Easy Mike probably remembers that
Gotta bring that back.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about some other trade ideas.
Let's talk about CC.
Yeah, we didn't get to UAL. Maybe we'll cover that later, but that's okay. Let's bring on CC Lagitor from Options AI because he's always got ideas for us around earnings season because he's an options guy, and earnings cause volatility. CC, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can see you. How are you doing today?
Good. Great.
Great. Good to hear from you. Good to see you. What have you been looking at out there?
Obviously, the Netflix earnings last night was very interesting.
It was.
And it was sort of a classic example. And I think, I think maybe Dennis was talking earlier about it just, you know, it going up after hours, it going down, it getting bought, it getting sold. And it's sort of a classic example of, you know, the difficulty of owning options premium into an earnings. You know, like we had that expected move at about 5%, and you know, I haven't checked it in a few minutes, but you know, it was down about 2% earlier, which means, you know, like owning options into an event like that, you know, the options when they open this morning, they're probably going to be down about 30% in implied volatility or something like that. And you know, what we talk about when we talk about the expected move at Options AI is that's essentially the realization of that implied volatility. It's a way for equity traders and options traders to understand what that's implying. And so a 5% move in Netflix that's down only 2%, basically anybody that was short option premium is basically a winner. And anybody that was long option premium was a really, you know, if you were bearish or if you were, you know, owned puts, you're probably right on the edge of, you know, you're fighting for your life with the stock only down 2%. So it's a really good lesson of, you know, why, you know, you have to be careful going into an earnings event with options. And, you know, the various ways, and when I say that, I mean long options. Now, there's plenty of ways where you can position, you know, credit spreads. If you're bullish, you can be, you know, short a credit put spread. If you're bearish, you can be short a credit call spread. You know, that protects you against that kind of situation like Netflix. Even if you were bearish and you wanted to be long premium, you know, if you had bought the at the money puts and sold a put at the expected move, which was down 5%, you're probably, you know, you might be up a little bit this morning on a trade like that. But if you just bought a straight put in Netflix today, despite getting the direction right, you probably are going to be, you know, fighting for your life on that trade. So that's something where, you know, when we talk about the expected move at Options AI, you know, that's exactly, Netflix is an exact, you know, it can seem like magic sometimes and the stock will move 5% and you're like, that's magic. But really what the best way to think about something like that is that's the break even of options. That's what options have priced. And anytime it moves inside of that, options were overpriced. And then anytime it busts through that expected move, options were underpriced.
So you see, it seems like the same theme, you know, this isn't unique to Netflix. This is unique to, it seems like most of earnings stocks going into these earnings is that they have a real struggle to get through those expected moves. And sometimes they turn right on those expected moves too. So like I was just saying, you know, you get, you know, one side and one side. Well, you know, if you got the big open interest or you've got the expected move, it kind of, you know, tries to cap it over here and tries to bottom it over there.
Right.
Is this just going to tell you again that it's more money being made selling options than buying options?
Yeah, well, definitely the math is in your favor going into earnings. You know, you're going to get a compression in an environment like this where, you know, the VIX is in the mid-teens. You know, you're probably most of these earnings, the implied volatility after earnings is going to come in 25-30%. But, you know, in crazy markets where, you know, volatility is really pumped, you can see that as much as like options premium can get halved after earnings. And Dennis, what you're talking about is very interesting because, you know, everybody's sort of looking at these options, you know, especially institutionally the same way into an earnings event like that. And that buy the dip, sell the rip that you're seeing, actually, you know, if people are long, you know, a lot of that can be affected by options positioning. And so, you know, especially after hours when the equity markets are thin, you know, somebody sitting there with a book of a lot of gamma selling that, you know, rip and buying that dip is them scalping stock against their, you know.
Again, I was just going to say that if you're long any of those calls in Netflix yesterday, you know, let's say you took a flyer. I mean, on where was it trading at 640? Right around there. I mean, you take you're long a call from 635. I mean, you sell it at 6 feet. I could do, when I see those kind of moves in stocks like that, I'm just thinking, wow, there are all these sellers at 640, 639, the all time high. Now you're traded at a premium to that. I mean, what about all the people that wanted out at 640? They're like, get 10,000 out there, get 20,000 out there, get 50,000 out there.
Right.
You know, and when the thing's like 650, they're putting orders in at 645. They're just trying to get done. And then on the downside, you have the same people that have the put. So a lot of times the stocks, you know, they'll trade like that today, but then they'll release after a day or two or even Monday when the options are off the board. So it's an interesting dynamic. But
and I think, you know, you were mentioning, Joel, when you were talking about Netflix before, you know, and you were mentioning like 620 support, you know, a lot of people are looking at those same levels, right? They're positioning options. You know, some people might be buying puts down at that level because they're long Netflix stock. they're like, all right, that's the point at which, you know, I want protection, because if it breaks there, it could be trouble, you know, things like that. And that that provides an opportunity, you know, if you are bullish Netflix, and, you know, and I want to share a screen and sort of show
that.
So the, oh, there we go.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
So basically, you know, this is a chart. Can you all see me?
Yep.
All
right. So this is an options AI chart in beautiful Netflix. Chart. And, you know, like what we were talking about earlier with the 620 line, you know, that's essentially a level of support. And what we can do is, this is actually something cool and new on options AI, is you can select like a support and resistance mode and then take, you know, the stock down to the 620 level. And basically what this does, and then, you know, you can sort of pick an expiration here, let's say, you know, around 622 or something like that. And this will create some credit put spreads to look at. And so basically what's happening here is, you know, from what Joel was saying is like, you know, I'm a buyer at 620, or at least I'm, you know, I'm thinking that it's going to find support there. You know, that this will allow you in the options market to sell a credit put spread down there with a very easy to understand risk reward of, you know, if as long as Netflix doesn't go down below 620, I think I have a 625 in this case, but, you know, that's the risk reward of selling that put spread at that level. So, you know, that's something we talk about in, you know, with options, is that there's more than one way to, you know, to basically position, like, and a lot of times it's not, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, I want to be long calls, long puts, and even long, you know, debit call spreads and debit put spreads, is you can position saying, I think Netflix won't go beneath 620.
TC, can we look at like another one that, okay, like Tesla tonight, for example?
That's yeah.
Great one.
Yeah, so Tesla, you know, like looking at it right now, we can see that its price, options are pricing about a 4% move. And, you know, with the stock trading 865, that's about 830 and 900 in the stock. Now, the fact that it's lining up with 900 as an expected move is very interesting, because, you know, how many people in the equity are looking at 900 in Tesla? Everybody, probably,
right?
And the options market has a way of doing that, where, you know, it's now pricing its expected move at 900. And so the way I would look at this as a trader is, you know, if I was bullish in Netflix or in Tesla, I'm sorry, You know, I would be looking to position in a way where it's buying something closer, you know, to the money and selling options at 900, right? What are the chances that Netflix rips through or Tesla rips through 900? You know, probably not that great, less than 25% probably. And so in that case, what you're doing is you're basically positioning, and this is a debit call spread, an 865-900 debit call spread, you know, risking about 1,300 to make 2,200 if Tesla goes up to 900. And what you're doing is you're allowing the options market to help you finance being bullish in Tesla and creating a break even much closer to where the stock is trading. You know, if you just went out right and were buying calls, you know, you're basically need it to go through 900 to make money, you know, especially based on what we talked about earlier with the collapse in volatility afterwards. And so this gives you a chance, but you're selling to all of these people buying 900 calls. They have a very low probability of being right at Tesla going through 900. Now, it may happen. There's like a 25% chance that could happen. But, you know, it's more, you know, like hitting doubles than looking for the home run.
Is this how you approach most of your trades when you're coming? Are you usually selling options, CC?
Or
are
you I would, you know, I think like a really good way to look at options is if you are net flat premium, you know, when you're directional, let's say, you know, there's a stock you like and it's just gotten beaten up and it's down 10%, you know, buying a call spread to the upside, you know, paying premium. But I would very rarely just be long a call or long a put, right? You know, I would want to take what the market's giving me and turn that into at least a debit call spread. As far as like a general strategy, you know, like there's things like condors, you know, like selling premium for income. There's if I'm bullish in a stock, you know, a credit put spread that's slightly out of the money might be a way, you know, like sort of what we were talking about in Netflix earlier. So I think those are the ways to think about it, is it's like you're sort of net. When I was a market maker, it was sort of, you know, I think we would lean net short premium, right? Just because it was like there's nothing worse than being long premium and coming in every morning and having to make up that money in decay, right? And it felt like death by a thousand cuts. And what market makers generally do is leaning short premium. And, you know, and I think that's a good rule of thumb for retail traders, is to at least be as close to flat premium as possible. And what that means is if you have 10 trades out there, you know, make it be, you know, 5 debit spreads and 5 credit spreads, be, you know, somewhere around there. And, you know, and then you have to look at the probability of profit of all of these trades. So, you know, like I would say the probability of profit of a credit put spread that is 85%, like we call that, you have to be careful. We call that like picking up pennies off the train tracks, right? Yeah. So if somebody had a portfolio, if I could looked at somebody's 10 options trades and their net probability of profit on all those trades was near 90%, I would be like, you have to be more careful, right? Because if the market goes crazy, you're going to be losing $90 to try to make 10, right? So that's also that probability of profit somewhere in there around that 50% level is probably like a very, you know, like a good place to be if you've got, you know, 10 options trades on.
Awesome. I love those charts.
It's awesome.
That's not how most options information is conveyed. You know, the options chain is a lot going on there. That's a very visual way of, I'm a visual person. So
yeah. And the way we look at it is it's trading in context, right? When you go to that options chain, you it's like vertigo, right? Up is down is up. Right. You don't know like where you are in the stock. And like, you know, as you know, your show is basically looking at charts the whole time, looking at support, looking at resistance. How much is this stock going to move? That's how most people think. And that's how people should think in options as well.
Quick question for you. How do you anticipate volatility crush during earnings? I'm asking because I'm looking for stocks with negative 10% volatility crush. Do you have a scanner, or how do you do that?
There are a couple of services out there. Like, I know for off the top of my head, there's like ORATS. There's a bunch there. I would say the general rule of thumb in a market like this is you could look to about 25 or 30% vol crush. Now, it's dependent on the stock. If it's a really uncertain event, but just it's interesting just looking at these Netflix and Tesla expected moves. Like the fact that Tesla is only 4% means that that is historically much lower volatility than a normal Tesla earnings event. And one thing we have with Options AI is people can go to the Options AI earnings calendar. And it's free to use, and you can search any stock you want. And what that will show is the expected move for every stock. And it should be at like tools.optionsai.com. And it'll show you the expected move in all of these earnings. And then it will show you what it's done like the last four earnings and how much it moved. And that's a pretty useful thing. Like, you know, the past isn't, you know, doesn't say a ton about the present, but you can kind of get a sense sometimes when you look at those, like, you know, you see one outlier that a stock moved 15% like three quarters ago, but then the other couple of moves have been 4%. Options are kind of tend to balance between that outlier move and then the more common move. And that more common move is more likely to happen again, if that makes sense. So sometimes options can get it wrong because they're still pricing some crazy move that happened three earnings ago. And you can kind of see it on that calendar. It's very interesting.
CC Lagator, Twitter handle at Options Learn. Options AI is his platform. CC, always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot.
Great to see you guys again.
Great to see you. Have a good one,
CC.
Man.
Okay.
All right. That man, that guy knows his stuff.
He does.
He's
one of our best guests, like, just to break that down. You know, yeah. I love those charts. I mean, so many people, you know, just coming in, taking flyers, I'm going to buy calls. This thing's going to go to the moon. And he's telling you, typically doesn't happen, and those expected moves often do cap it. And I mean, if you're trading at these earnings events, it's good to know those expected moves, because and the expected move, just for newer traders there, you just add up the calls and the puts if you want to get it quickly. So you look
where it closed.
Yeah, you look at the closest strike and then you add up the calls and the puts. So like for instance on Tesla right now, if you wanted to know, you could go to like the 865 weeklies and just add up the call premium, add up the put premium from the 865s, and you'll get the expected move.
There's another website you can use that if you don't want to do all that math.
There's not a lot of math. It's grade 2 edition. I could teach my 7-year-old to do that.
All right, fair enough. I was gonna show people a shortcut, but don't forget it. It still involves
my shortcut. Just go to
my shortcut still involves math anyway. So you know, it's not.
You don't like math. It's hard to be a trader though.
Yeah.
Try that.
Okay. We got 10 minutes left. We'll do some ticker time. Quick before we do that though, quick PSA. There are some people asking about BBIG on the top of the show. We're gonna talk to Ted Farnsworth, the CEO of Zash, or the co-founder of Zash, today at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on the Power Hour, myself and Aaron Bree. So we're gonna clear up the confusion with Ted himself.
Excellent.
At 12:15 p.m. today. So in 3.5 hours from now, we're gonna
because the stock and you know, I've had multiple people sending me Twitter hate here this morning because last night stock comes out with an SEC filing and tanks. Like, I mean, it goes all the way down. You can bring up the chart, Joel, to like $5.85. You know, I'm looking, people are asking, what's going on with BBIG? And I'm going looking, I look at the SEC filings. In the SEC filings, as the CEO and CFO resigned. It was also said on multiple news services as well. Everybody's telling me this was a planned event. I don't know anything about that. I'm just telling you why it was getting hit last night. It was getting hit because the algos, we know news algos, don't dig into the details. They just look right there. So it got hit down last night significantly. Catchy published an article after that. A lot of people giving the hate on that. But you know, the reason why I was getting hit really hard last night was the way that was in the SEC filing. I don't know if it was planned. I don't know if it wasn't planned. They're telling me it was planned. Apparently the CEO, and we're going to find out, we're having the CFO on.
It's a complicated corporate structure, but it's the co-founder of like the sister company.
They're doing a spinoff or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't follow the company closely. I tweet out lots of news. So I tweeted out last night. I tweet out lots of, you know, right away you can see you know, stocks trading down 25%. You're like, okay, well, what's going on there? So there's an SEC filing coinciding when the stock started to fall. So you go read the SEC filing, you see the resignations in there, and you can get the reason fairly quickly. So whether news algos have misinterpreted this, I do not know. Stock is still trading down 12%. I'll limit my comments there, though, because you give an opinion on a stock like this, and everybody hates you if you're bearish it.
Yeah.
So I have no opinion on
BP. Okay, so the takeaway there is 12:15 p.m. today. Myself,
we'll find out from the CFO.
Yeah, well, no, from the co-founder of Zash, which is like the parent company. And so we'll talk about this.
I will say that a lot of people are saying, you know, after Catchy's article, the stock fell on that article. The stock fell 25 minutes before that article was published. So the stock fell on the SEC filing. It did not fall on the article that came out 25 minutes later. Stock had already traded down and bottomed well before that article was published.
Bravo Mo 1982 is asking about Ulta. We did hit on that earlier in the show briefly. He's looking for an entry, though, Joel, in ULTA. You want to take a look at that?
I mean, this is the one day. I mean, this was the first day of the move. I think you got to let things settle. I've been looking at I mentioned this before. This is a higher price stock. I'm looking at this whole 355 to 360 area as potential support. You're kind of bouncing off. But what you got to think about in stocks like this is that there's still a lot of people sitting on a lot of profits. So,
or losses from yesterday.
Yeah, or losses from yesterday. So, and they did the company just come out and tell you, give you bad news yesterday?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'd be careful on that one. Yeah. As far as an entry. What? At least let the dust settle for a couple days.
What about United here, UAL? They had the earnings. They were last night. All these airlines are kind of the same to me. The earnings are what they are. They're still not making any money, but they're all in the same exact boat. We're still not back to where we were before COVID, but we have come a long ways back from where we were last year. They're all saying the same thing.
You know what the thing scares me about UAL is expanding. They're like, they're spending money. I mean, they're looking to expand. So
yeah,
you know, back to normal. First.
One more thing on the maybe the chat or Dennis Joel can help me out. I don't remember any airlines ever specifically giving guidance for how much they're going to pay for fuel. Maybe they do. I don't remember it. UAL did that last night. They actually came out and said, we expect in the current quarter, this quarter, Q4, we expect to pay $2.39 a gallon for our fuel.
Is that reasonable?
Well, I don't, that's the thing. I don't know. Like,
what are you paying for a gallon?
No, Dennis, that's apples and potatoes.
Like, I fill my car up like once every 3 weeks.
What is it right now? What is it though in Michigan?
I don't know. No idea.
We're at all time highs in Ontario.
$3.84 Spencer.
$4 a liter.
Yeah, $4 sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Well, how the heck do they get it for $2.50?
Because it's a different fuel, Dennis.
That's completely different, eh?
But the point is different. But the point is, I don't know if that's reasonable for jet fuel. Like, I have no idea if that's high or low. I don't remember them ever. I don't remember any airlines ever giving guidance on their fuel costs. Maybe this is a normal thing. I just don't remember them that happening. Anyway, let's look at the chart
for UAL.
Yeah.
Man, it had that big run up. It's lost half of the move. I mean, you had to spike up, a spike down. I would just figure this level right here. And if it could get back above 47.75, 48 and hold, then you have an expectation for it going back up to this $52 area. If not, you got some work to do on the downside. Important level to keep an eye on. 46.10 was your low back on the 23rd, and 46.08 is your low from yesterday. So 46 to 48, let's see which way it decides to go.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that, you know, because they buy in bulk, they're getting locked into a certain price. Maybe that's true. But I just don't remember seeing that as a line item before. Maybe they do. Maybe I don't look at the releases enough on the airlines. Maybe that is normal. I didn't see it. So let's move on here. Martin just dropped a couple of tickers in there. Coinbase and Verizon. Verizon also had earnings. They were this morning, I believe, during the show. And let's look at the numbers. EPS beat, sales missed, guidance for the fiscal year coming in a little bit light. I know it's in line. Well, they gave it, it's in line. They're in line with their EPS guidance. They beat on their EPS for the last quarter. Their sales for the last quarter came in a little bit light. And what's the stock doing?
It's all I can't hate a stock more than Verizon. Just my opinion. You're getting a nice pop. It's a nice $2 pop from where it was 4 days ago. It's giving half of the losses back. I don't even care what the report looks like. I just think it's not the kind of stock I want to own in this inflationary environment. So no, low growth company where you're in it for a 4.8% dividend, I pass. So just my opinion, but I don't like Verizon at all.
53.20 is your pre-market high. That right around your October 11th high at 53.20 is the pre-market high, 53.29. That's a sell zone for now. If it can somehow bust through that area and keep going, you got some more room on the upside. But the fact that the pre-market high and that daily high coincide, that's a good level. And then just real quick, I'm going to hop off here. But like every day, people are signing up for pre-market info on MarketFi. And that's not a product. What you guys want to do is sign up for premarketprep.com. That's the site, Premarket Prep Plus. So go, you can go to the site. That's where I do the 9 to 9:30 show. So if you're listening to this and you've signed up for that MarketFi product, that's not a product. It doesn't exist. It doesn't go anywhere. So instead, go to premarketprep.com. So I'm going to hop over there and cover some symbols. Spencer, I'll talk to you later on.
One more thing I want to hit on before we wrap it up for is Facebook. Dennis, did you see the Facebook news?
Changing their name? What is this?
The Facebook's pulling to Google is what they're doing.
Oh, why?
They're pulling to Google. They remember how in 2015 Google was like, we're not just a search engine. We're more than a search engine. We're a phone company. We're an operating system. We're doing some crazy futuristic stuff. We're going to change our name to Alphabet. Facebook is doing the exact same thing. They want to be known not just for Facebook.com. They want to be known for the metaverse and for all the other things. So they're going to change their name. We should start a pool as to what the name change will be and whether or not it
why? Didn't they say the name? I thought I saw it.
No, they didn't.
No, I did. I saw it go by this morning.
No, you didn't. What? No, you didn't.
Facebook name change. I did.
They did. They haven't announced it, did they?
I thought they. No, stop. I saw something going by. Oh no! Just saying. Okay, sorry. They're just saying they're going to change the name.
Yeah.
Why are they going to change the name? Are they changing the name of the platform or just changing the name of the company?
No, the company. So it doesn't mean anything, but. I mean, I don't
know. Why do these companies, these good companies, want to change their name?
Because they want to be known for more than just what they're known for, right?
So Google didn't want to be their Alphabet, but everybody calls them Google. They still have the Google.
Nobody calls Google Alphabet.
Nobody calls Google Alphabet, even though when I type it in, it says it's Alphabet. Somebody says, oh, what's Alphabet doing? I don't even know what they're talking about. It's Google. It'll always be called Facebook.
You're right.
Stop changing their names. People just, I hate change. I'm one of those anti-change people, I think. So I don't like a new change.
All right, some chat's got some good ones here.
I'll do two ticker symbols and I gotta go.
Zuckerverse. You want to look at Coinbase?
Yeah, holy.
Zuckerverse, what a Metaverse, move in Coinbase. Facebook.
Coinbase might be, this is an incredible move. And I mean, if you're buying it now, you're in total chase mode. And we know chasing has not worked in this environment, but it has worked in this stock for the last 3 or 4 days. I don't know where it reverses. You get back down to that 280. I would be a buyer at 280. I'm not going to be a buyer at 306. So I like the stock. I just don't like the move. I need a dip to buy. Next.
How do you feel about the Bitcoin futures ETF being a topping event? No,
I don't think so. You know why? Because we've been climbing up slowly and you're getting more people interested. I actually don't think it's going to be a topping event.
Okay.
Saturday Night Live was a topping event. The Bitcoin ETF is something that, you know, obviously we've talked about for a while. And we're not fully at a full ETF yet. I'm still long Bitcoin. I'm still long Ethereum. I'm still long Hive blockchain from our friend Frank Holmes. Those are my three Bitcoin positions.
We can't go a day without talking about Alibaba. So let's talk about Alibaba.
What's it just, doing? What's we talked today? About 3 days ago. I was basing to break out. It did. I think we talked about it, you know, and obviously I had a couple more days of basing and now it has broken out. Alibaba has bottomed and obviously hindsight capital 2020. We actually called it on that saying the 140 was a nice setup. I wish I would have bought more. I did not. I still have my long position. I think on pullbacks, you're looking to get into these stocks. I think the China stocks have bottomed here as well. I mean, we've had a wicked rally in the FXI. I can't come in buying at 40 points higher than it was 10 trading sessions ago, so I'm not chasing it. I'd be waiting for a dip. It would have been good 3 or 4 days ago when we talked about it on the show saying this is consolidation and this could go again. We're right on that call. And obviously, stock's up almost 10 bucks from where we talked about just a couple days ago.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
So now it's gone. Hindsight, thanks, John. John saying I call it. Thanks, John.
Hindsight 2020. A few people in the chat bust my drops. No, I'm not going to buy K-Web again. Enough. I mean, there are other places for my money than this. Just cause.
Yeah, and I'm not heavily invested in China. We know that. I have a little bit of Alibaba, and on pullbacks here, would I get a little more exposure to China? Maybe. There's still a lot of unknowns there, though.
Okay.
That's talking long-term hat.
All right, Dennis, you also, starting today, will be able to trade WeWork. That's back conversion is happening. So
what's the symbol going to be on that?
It's going to be WE, W-E. It's not live yet.
Well, that's an easy symbol. No, right, it's not on.
Well, W-E? It's not on. WE, or the SPAC conversion is happening today. So it's what is it? It's like BOWX, I think. I think it's BOWX for today.
Yeah, BOWX is still trading as
BOWX. For today. BOWX, but it's going to become WE today. Okay. So I'm sure they'll talk about more on SPACs today. So you'll have that to trade, which is always fun. Okay. All right, Dennis, have a good day, sir. We'll catch you tomorrow. Just a couple of quick notes before I hop off here, and then they're going to do live trading as we do every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. On the earnings calendar for tonight, we've got Tesla. We talked about that. We've got IBM. We've got Las Vegas Sands. Those are probably the big three from my calendar here. Tesla, Las Vegas Sands, IBM. Yeah, those are kind of the three that interest me. So we're going to be watching those today. Didn't hit on all the stocks. Didn't hit on Biogen. Didn't hit on Abbott Labs. Them's the break. So real quick programming note for today. We got a lot going on the interviews front. So we're going to do live trading until 11. SPACs Attack will start, or until 10:30. SPACs Attack will start at 11. They have two interviews today on SPACs Attack. And from there, we're going right to back-to-back interviews on Power Hour, which is where the Ted Farnsworth interview will be. It'll all be on this channel. Each video will redirect to the next one. So we got four interviews in like an hour span on the channel today. We've got Ahmed Fatou. He's the chairman and CEO of InterPrivate, and Andre Cherny. If you don't know Aspiration, it's one of these neobanks. If you don't know what a neobank is, it's basically there's an entire class of new startups out there that are basically startup banks. And their whole deal is that they don't charge fees and they're really consumer friendly. There's probably about a dozen or so in the U.S. and Aspiration's going public via SPAC, and they're probably the third or fourth largest neobank in the U.S. But there's neobanks all over the world and in Europe and Latin America as well, I believe. So that's the first one. And then Matt Higgins from Omnichannel will be on SPAC's Tech also at 8:45 today. So that'll be exciting. OCA is the ticker there. So we got a lot going on today. How are we doing on the like front? We are Elite Trading. I almost forgot. I'm sorry. Elite Trading. Jesse Kaler will be on at 1 o'clock with me, and Moon or Bust will follow at 2. Joel and I will be back at 3:30, and we're going to do the same thing we did yesterday for earnings. We're just going to hang out after the close, after 4 o'clock. Myself and Mitch will live stream the Tesla earnings. Tesla's usually out like later on, though, I think, right? We're going to have to figure that out. I think Tesla usually reports. Let's look up when they usually report as far as time. We can do that in the pro by looking at past reports. So Tesla usually reports earnings. Oh, last quarter they were at a 405, so that's cool. Okay, so maybe they won't be out. Sometimes they're out super late, but I guess 405 is the reason. So we'll talk about the earnings as they come in after the close today. We'll do that. We'll just kind of hang out, and that'll be our last show of the day. So all that being said, everyone, please hit that like button. We're at 311. I'd appreciate a little bit more. As a reminder, today's show brought to you by Masterworks. Masterworks.io is your link. It is in the description. It is also pinned to the top of the YouTube chat. It's been there the entirety of today's show. This is a platform that's democratizing art. If you want to diversify away from stocks, away from crypto, as far as I know, Masterworks is the only platform you can invest in art, and they're worth $1 billion. So there's clearly some demand there for this asset class. It's a pretty fast growing company. Maybe we'll have them on the show one of these days, but there it is. Link in chat and description. Thanks to CC Lagator for coming on the show today. Thanks to all of you in the chat. The people that are nice, the people that are mean, you can be mean. I don't really mind. They mind. I don't really mind if you're mean. Just don't be too mean. That's a wrap. And yep, Jesse, Elite Trading. I'll see you at 1 o'clock, man, on the chat. If you ever want to come on our show, come on our stream, you have any feedback for us, email us, guys. shows@benzinga.com. I'll put the email on the screen right now. Where's the email? I think I lost it. Whatever. I lost it. shows@benzinga.com. Email us. Questions, comments, concerns. And while you're there, check out Benzinga Pro. There it is. shows@benzinga.com. And then Benzinga Pro. pro.benzinga.com. Get a free 2-week trial. Use the code YouTube20 to get 20% off your subscription, but also again the free 2-week trial. Can't stress it enough. No credit card, no hassle, nothing. Just free 2-week trial. pro.benzinga.com. All right, live trading will start in about 5 minutes. I'm gonna hop off. Everyone, good luck at the open. Stay green, and catch you later.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.